So this is the nature of this material world, is that nothing's straightforward, even the simplest thing. It can be so difficult. You know, it says, by taking shelter of Lord Chaitanya, these difficulties all become easy. And if we don't take shelter of Lord Chaitanya, even the simplest thing becomes difficult. And so this is the principle in this verse that, you know, somehow or other, everybody has to be satisfied. You know, in society they say, you know, you can satisfy some of the people all of the time. And you can satisfy all of the people some of the time. But you can't satisfy all of the people all of the time. But somehow Krishna does. I mean, we may not understand the principle that, you know, why Krishna does a certain thing, so we may not be, you know, satisfied, but that's our fault. You know, there's no dichotomy in Krishna because he's absolute. He can make black white and white black. Swarat. Swarat is completely independent. And so therefore he can change rules and he can make things different. This is what they do in most countries, isn't it? As soon as the populace start, you know, getting around the tax system, then they alter it. Oh, keep shifting the goalposts. And so it seems like Krishna's like that. In this particular verse, how can Arjuna solve this problem? And we gave the clue at the beginning, we're talking about Lord Chaitanya. And so in the Bhagavad Gita, it mentions that Krishna's in the heart. What's that verse? I'm seated within everybody's heart. And from me comes knowledge, forgetfulness, and remembrance. So this is the principle, is that later on in the Bhagavad Gita also it emphasizes this point that surrender unto him utterly. It's just been talking about how Krishna's directing the wanderings of all living entities who are seated on a machine of the material energy. So, in other words, Krishna's controlling everything. There's nothing outside Krishna's purview. Generally, the whole creations are controlled by Shankarshan, both the spiritual and the material, Lord Balaram. And all the material world is controlled by Mahavishnu. And then, you know, within that is the greater super soul, or the Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, who's controlling everything within the universe. And then within everybody's heart, and with every atom, is the Shiradakshaya Vishnu. So this verse is talking about Shiradakshaya Vishnu, how, you know, Shiradakshaya Vishnu is controlling everything. First of all, Krishna decides, and then it happens. Rishikesha, he's a master of the senses. Nothing takes place without Krishna's sanction. And so bearing that in mind, we can understand how to solve the problem. That if we want to take surrender unto him utterly means, if we take shelter of the super soul, then we can actually understand how to solve the problem. And we may not even understand how to solve the problem, but the problem will be solved by our activities. Atak Sri Krishna Namadi Nama Vetgram Indriya Seven Mukhi Jivado Swayameva Spurachira. That we can't understand Krishna by our gross senses. So there's a gradual process, and this is what Krishna's exhibiting here, that to Arjuna, that first of all we understand that Krishna's, you know, all pervading, then he's in the heart, and this is this particular situation, for us at least. But for Arjuna, Krishna is personally present. He's giving direct guidance. what was the point now? So So yeah, when we take shelter of the Supreme Lord, he gives knowledge from within the heart. Tesham satata yuktanam majitam pratipurvakam tadadi pariyogam tam yenam amupayantate. And so where is that ingredient that Krishna reciprocates with? And, you know, Satchinandan Swami gave the answer yesterday that in everything we do, the whole point is to develop love for Krishna. Do it for his benefit. This is the purpose of life, is to do everything for Krishna's satisfaction. But we may not be able to come to that point straight away. And so there are, you know, the Vedas cover all different aspects of existence in this material world in order to gradually bring the person to the point of understanding that Krishna has to be satisfied. And then the individual is satisfied, and the individual knows what to do, becomes what they call self-intelligent. Does anybody know what self-intelligent means? In the material world, it means I know everything. You know, most people like that. You can't tell them anything, me included. But, you know, material world means we could have a lot of that. So self-intelligent is perverted in the material world. But self-intelligent spiritually means that Krishna gives guidance from within. And surrendering him utterly to the one who's actually looking for that guidance. And so Arjuna is in a state that he doesn't know what to do. Do I go this way, try and satisfy Bhima and Krishna, or do I try and satisfy Draupadi and Yudhisthira? And so that dichotomy is there. And it's strange because Krishna is thinking, he gives an instruction. He gives an instruction, he should be killed. But Arjuna doesn't do it. What do you think of that? You know, in the Bhagavad Gita, it says we should follow the orders of the spiritual master. Yes, sir. As if in military discipline, that's what it says, is it? So why doesn't Arjuna just say, yes, sir, and follow Krishna's instruction? He's done that before. You know, the whole Bhagavad Gita is to get him to that point of not arguing. Okay, we've gone through all the, you know, Krishna, I'm in charge, you just do what I tell you to do. But he doesn't do it. I mean, what's an instance where he did do it? You know, when he was following Karna, he was riding his chariot, and then because of a previous curse that he would lose his ability to call his weapons and his chariot would get stuck in the mud, that's what happened. And he was completely defenseless. He was actually trying to get the wheel out of the mud, and Krishna said, kill him. And this is, you know, it says, it, you know, proper aggressor shouldn't be killed if he's got no weapons. But Arjuna killed him straight away. So this is a little bit difficult to understand. And actually, we cannot understand Krishna's motive. At the end of the day, you know, what does Krishna say in the last verse? He's the highest principle in morality. So we're not going to be able to understand, you know, Krishna's activities. Some he will reveal to us, some not. But, you know, faith means that, you know, Shraddha, Shabde, Vishvas, Kahe, Sudhidha, Nischoy, Krishna, Bhakti, Sarva, Karma, Karma, Kritahai. That faith means that, you know, that if we just take shelter of Krishna, we follow this process, and following this process means taking complete shelter of Krishna, then everything will be taken care of. We don't, and this is called Shraddha. Shraddha means pure faith. But we have to come to that point. So what's the answer to the question? Come back to that one. We were asking about why, you know, Arjuna followed in instruction in one instance, he doesn't follow instruction in another instance. He did eventually, but before... That's the next verse. That's the next verse. But in this verse, Krishna said, kill him. As soon as he caught up with him, he said, kill him. And he didn't. Then he came back to the camp. And... you know, when he was chasing him, he fired the Brahmastra because, you know, Ashwatthama was frightened. And, you know, he didn't know how to retract it, he was so frightened. But, you know, Arjuna was told by Krishna, you just fire your Brahmastra and retract them both. That'll solve. And then when he did that, you know, Ashwatthama was helpless and he just got hold of him, dexterously bound him, he says. And then at that point, Krishna said, just kill him. But he didn't. And then he brought him back, and Bhima, what did Bhima say? Oh, you know. No, he said, kill him. And then, but Draupadi said, no, he's a son of Dronacharya. Dronacharya is our spiritual master. He taught all of you, all you know about warfare. And now he's left his body. He's been killed. So Ashwatthama's his son, he's the representative of the father. So we can't kill him. And then they ask Yudhisthira, what do you think? She's right. So there's two contradictions. So it's like Krishna's devotees against Krishna. And, you know, when Krishna... What was that one now? When the gopis went to see Krishna in the forest at night when he played his flute, the gopis also defeated him.
The same predicament was shown by Maharaj Priyavrata when he had the Lord Brahma, who is a Mahajan, and Narada Muni. The Lord Brahma said, you should get married. And Narada Muni said, no, you should stay brahmachari. So, and he had both their Mahajans. So what did he do? Externally, he got married, and internally, he remained detached. So he pleased both of them. And Arjuna did the same thing, you know, because by cutting off that jewel...
No, but the point is, that was an instruction later. He didn't follow the first instruction. This is the point. And, you know, it seems like... You know, we surrender to Krishna, we have complete shraddha, complete faith in what Krishna says. Anyway, the thing is that Krishna was testing Arjuna. You know, it was testing his integrity. In devotional service, you know, it's not that, you know, everything's done for us. You know, when we get up in the morning, Krishna ties us shoelaces. And no, we have to function in this world, and we'll be put into situations where we have to use our intellect. And, you know, sometimes it's just, why am I doing this? But this is actually also a surrender that we're using our intelligence, and Krishna's putting us into situations where it's not so straightforward. And we have to be thoughtful about all parties and about the outcome of the whole situation. And this is what Arjuna's thinking. He's remembering that, you know, he doesn't feel that this is the thing to do. Not that we should not that we should just follow our sentiments, but you know, it's a situation where there's some different arguments, and you know, Arjuna has been put into this situation because Krishna wants to test his mettle. How is he going to deal with this? And so for us, it's the same, that we have to be. It helps us to become Krishna conscious. It helps us to see our anattas. It helps us see where we're attached. If we make a decision based on, you know, we'll start to realize, wait a minute, why am I making this decision? And we'll start to realize that we're making it based on our own preservation, our own self-satisfaction. And really, we have to actually let go of that and make the decision on a purely Krishna conscious basis, based on our experience. First we get knowledge from book. And, you know, it seems straightforward. Then as we go through, we see contradictions. So we need more than book. Mahajena yatasapantaha. Mahajena, what is it? Mahajena. That's right, yeah. That, you know, the real truth is locked in the heart of a devotee, a pure devotee, because he is actually actively putting the scriptures into practice. You know, the law book says so many things, but, you know, when it comes to the final decision, who makes the decision in a law court? Eh? The judge. You know, he more or less says to the jury, these are the considerations. And if they come back with a wrong result, he said, go back and discuss it again. And then he'll make it. But why is he making the consideration? Because he's actually experienced. He's a realized soul, at least in law. And so, you know, it's a very important situation, very important position. And so Arjuna has been trained up to become completely self-intelligent, which is what we were speaking about earlier. So a devotee has to, you know, persevere in devotional service in all different situations. And eventually we can see another thing that happens. You start to see Krishna working in the situation. And then we see the results, how Krishna actually... And then how Krishna dealt with the situation and gave us the proper conclusion. And then what happens is that we become convinced about the process of devotional service. It's no longer just a book knowledge, it's no longer just by association, but it's by realization. And so the best way to get realization is by association also. It's like, does anybody remember Dr. Finlay's case book? So you remember it? No? I must be getting on. I mean, this, you remember it? Wow. This was a Scottish doctor. It was a program on the television. And there was Dr. Cameron. He was like ready for retiring, you know, a grey hair, a doctor. And he'd been practicing for like 40 to 50 years. And then there was this young Dr. Finlay, you know, he'd just come out of medical school. He was like fired up. And, you know, some of the things that Dr. Cameron used to say, I think, he's 50 years behind the time. But most of the time when it came to a case, you know, this Dr. Finlay, he got it all worked out, you know, according to his medical school training and according to, you know, his logic and understanding. But somehow it didn't work. And then, you know, he'd have to fetch Dr. Cameron in, you know. And he'd just the most unusual things and solve the old problem. He says, what's going on? How did that work? And he'd just start chuckling, you know. You know, it's not book knowledge. It's actually experience. Is that one about the... What is it? The... the watermelon in the horse's mouth. Throat. And... you know, the apprentice, he sees the doctor, he goes up and examines him, looks down his throat. Ah. And he gets hammered and he starts beating his throat. And then all of a sudden, it disappears. And the horse is, you know, active again. And so, this apprentice, this other patient, he got a lump in his throat. So he thought, ah. He took the hammer and he started, and you know, there was blood coming out of the patient's mouth. And they stopped him before he actually killed him. And the doctor says, what are you doing? He said, well, you did the same with that horse. And he said, he swallowed a watermelon, that's why. So yeah, we have to develop integrity, and that comes by purification. What's real integrity? It means that Sanatana Dharma. our integral connection. And integrity means, what's the definition of integrity? To make whole. So it means that, you know, there's no difference between the inside and the outside. What are the, what's the word? What are the qualities that we should be imbibing? What is the reality? So this is a soul and its eternal qualities. And we should, real integrity means we actually develop the ability to practice on the platform of the soul. And so this is what Krishna is doing, he's training Arjuna. He's acting on the platform of Krishna consciousness, seeing everything from a transcendental perspective. So, you know, when we don't act with integrity, what does it mean? Is any time we should act with without integrity? You know, Prabhupada says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, this is actually like the fifth regulative principle, not to act like that, but simplicity, straightforwardness. Otherwise, you know, we can't really make progress in devotional service. So, you know, Krishna goes really deep into the heart. So, why am I doing this? And, you know, we go so deep and we think, now I've got it. Then Krishna puts it into another situation. We have to go, why are you doing this? Oh, what the devotees told me 20 years ago, now I'm realizing. They can see. So by that association, we can very quickly make, this is what I was saying, by that association, we can quickly learn the process of devotional service. And then last one is practical realization, when we have to, like Arjuna, who's having to apply it in his own life. So this is... So what does Krishna? What's Krishna's motive? What's his slogan about dealing with everybody and dealing with every situation? Sarva sukhino bhavantu. Let everybody be happy. And what's an extension of that? I mean, Krishna's letting everybody try to become happy by the different activities. So that's not the ultimate. Krishna's real is that, you know, he does a thing so that everybody is benefited spiritually, ultimately. That's Krishna's outlook. So Arjuna has to see in that situation, you know, what is the ultimate benefit for everyone here? Of course, Krishna's in the heart of Ashwatthama, and he can understand what to do, but somehow or other, even though he gave the instruction that, you know, Ashwatthama should be killed, he actually allows him to live. You know, Ashwatthama was a killer. He committed infanticide. You know, he killed five sleeping sons of the Pandavas in the middle of the night when they were asleep. And now he's still got his material body to do it again. So we have to understand, why did Krishna do that? And yet, you know, as a Brahman, he's lost all his respectability. So maybe the principles were higher in those days, because actually that is a fact, isn't it, that a higher principle is to Arjuna, Krishna says to Arjuna that, you know, to lose your respectability, to use your, what's the word he uses? It's worse than death. And so, on that basis, it seems like Krishna's, okay, you can live, but it's like Ashwatthama probably wishes he were dead. Anyway, there are different levels that we go through even to come to devotional service. So what is correct for one living entity won't be correct for another living entity on a higher platform. In devotional service, what is seen as correct for that particular devotee at this moment in time won't be correct for a devotee when he advances. And so a devotee is always introspective. He's always looking at how to improve his motivation and his understanding of what devotional service is. Okay, so we can stop there. It's 8:30. And if anybody's got any comments or any questions. Yeah?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Thank you very much for your class. The last one you were making is that sometimes when it comes to injunctions, some injunctions may be correct for a certain type of devotee, but it may not be the same for another type of devotee. So sometimes in our spiritual life, we need to make decisions that are that may be right ones for us, but social pressures and stigma makes it difficult to carry out those decisions. So how do you recommend we deal with such situations where we have enough strength of character to make the right decisions for ourselves without worrying so much about what, on a practical level, what is the kind of mindset we need to develop?
Well, you know, the principle is that we're going to make mistakes. You know, we're not going to get everything right. And when we make those mistakes, we have some remorse. And that's the purifying ingredient. If we, why did I do that? And we're remorseful, then to the degree we're remorseful, we'll not do it again. And also, as we develop faith, the reason we don't probably make the right decision is because we're frightened. Frightened of the outcome. And so therefore we have to, you know, develop the, what they call the discrimination that a devotee has to see in this situation. What will be the result of the decision I make? It may be actually that we should do a certain thing according to Shastra, and according to our realization, but, you know, for the whole situation, we may have to actually forego that particular decision at that particular time. And that's where we need, you know, Dr. Cameron. You know, he's like more experienced. He knows that, well, this is right, but if you do that, you know, it won't be very auspicious. And, it, you know, it'll actually create more difficulty. You know, like Prabhupada, he sometimes do the things which devotees didn't expect. Like one devotee, he came. I heard one Mataji saying, I think it was Amekala before she left her body. And she was saying that one devotee who had been ostracized from the movement, just about, Prabhupada disciple, he came back. And so she went to Prabhupada and said, he's now in the temple and he's criticizing, he's still in the same room. And Prabhupada said, what would you think Prabhupada would say? He said, tell him to cook for me. And she said, Prabhupada is eating meat. He said, no, tell him to cook for me. You know, Prabhupada was seen from a different perspective. I mean, we can't do that. And so, you know, it's like... And if we're humble, you know, we accept that this is my level, the superiors. They may not externally seem to have got things right, but, you know, let's err on the side of caution before we check the situation, you know. That was Prabhupada's mood. You know, once it was Bhajahari, he was a temple president here. He was talking about this as well. And I think it's in one of the biographies about Prabhupada. he was temple president. He hadn't been temple president long. And Shyamasunda, you know, Prabhupada's one of his early disciples, one of the Syamasundara, came over with the original six devotees. And he wasn't coming to Mangalarti, and he was starting to become a little bit, you know, distanced. And this was before, actually, Bajahari became... And he was, I think he was a temple president, or he was in some... Yeah? And so, one the temple president was concerned about Syamasundara, and he told Bajahari to come with him to see Prabhupada, because he wanted to explain to him the situation. And when he came in, Prabhupada looked up and the temple president started explaining. And then he looked at Bajahari and says, "What are you doing here?" And so Bajahari, you know, he went out. And, you know, Prabhupada explained to this temple president, says, "He's just a younger devotee. You shouldn't be actually dealing with this." You know what I mean? This is in the nature of instruction as well, you know, that we different relationships, we in different ways. All right. That's some realization anyway.